You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
You're tuned into The Wire, 1 hour of current affairs and analysis starting now.
Tēnā koutou katoa, ko aniki mohi toku ingoa, nau mai haere.
A pregnant beaked whale was a rare sight even for Tohunga Tohra, or whale expert Ramari Stewart, but it turned out to be a whole new species. I spoke to Dr. Emma Carroll from the University of Auckland, who worked on the new classification alongside international experts and local iwi Ngāti Mahaki about this exciting discovery. Could you tell us about how the whale was found or discovered?
Yeah, so this is a story that begins back in 2011, and that's when a whale that has been given the name Nihonori stranded in the South Island of New Zealand. So Ramari Stewart, who is a Tohunga Tohora and also very experienced in Western scientific methods, attended the stranding, and she recognised that Nihonori was special. You know, she hadn't seen this kind of whale before. And so the Department of Conservation, with consent from the local iwi, sent a small tissue sample of the whale to the University of Auckland. And we used the genetic methods to identify this as what was called the true-beaked whale at the time. And this was pretty exciting because it was the first record of true-beaked whales in New Zealand. And so, you know, this got me thinking, you know, we've got this species, or what we thought was one species at the time, that's found in, like, the temperate waters of the southern hemisphere, so New Zealand, Australia, South America and South Africa. But then it's also found in the temperate waters of the North Atlantic, so like the US and Canadian coasts and Europe, but not in between. And so that was really quite curious. And there were some, you know, hints that there might be some genetic differences with the handful of sequences we had. And using genomic sequencing, including whole genomes from one specimen from the southern hemisphere and one from the northern hemisphere, we're actually able to show that there was a deep genetic divergence between the groups found in the North Atlantic and the Southern Hemisphere. And so with that kind of amazing result in hand, we went back to the morphologists who study, you know, the skulls of these whales and can characterise them in that way. And they had a look at the specimens, and they found that the Southern Hemisphere form actually has a shorter and broader beak. And so we had this genetic and morphological evidence that actually we have a new whale species for the Southern Hemisphere.
How did you finally come to the conclusion that it was distinct?
So the degree of genetic divergence is really pronounced between that Northern Hemisphere and Southern Hemisphere groups of these whales. We actually estimate they started to diverge about 2 million years ago and probably were completely separate by about 500,000 years ago. And it's really reflected in the fact that they have really distinct genetic groups. And so it's not just that the genetics are distinct, but when we look at the skulls, we actually see that there's consistent differences between the two groups that are consistent with them being different species.
Could you tell me about how you named the species?
Sure. So, you know, with a new species comes a new name, and there's actually a convention with beaked whales, which are these deep diving creatures that we're studying here, to be named for people. And so there, when we were doing this work, there were 23 species of beaked whales, 18 of which had been named after men, and 17 of which were named for men with colonial European names. And so we really wanted to do something different and actually acknowledge the connections to the natural world and knowledge of the natural world of the indigenous groups from the lands from which important specimens in our study were drawn. So we actually sought to have a collaborative naming process with indigenous groups from South Africa and Aotearoa New Zealand. So in South Africa, we worked with the Khoisan Council, who suggested the word Eo Eo, which means big fish in the Kwi language. And so we used a Latinized version of that for the species scientific name. And in Aotearoa, New Zealand, we work with a Te Ao Māori expert, Mr. Brad Harmy. And he produced a short list of several different names which could be appropriate for the common name for the species. And we took that to Te Runaka o Kaitahu. And eventually we settled on the name Ramiri's beaked whale. And that pays homage to the Tohunga Tohara Ramiri Stewart, who was there when Nihonori, this first record of this whale appearing on our shores. So she was there at the stranding. She recognised that it was an unusual whale, and she's actually prepared the skeleton of Nihonori for preservation and archive at Te Papa. So we were really honoured and happy when Ramiri accepted the honour of the whale being named for him. And Ramiri is an ancient name in Te Reo, and it also means a rare event, which is kind of fitting for these rarely seen species.
And so how do you see this role of communication between Indigenous people and academic institutions continuing and developing into the future?
Yeah, I mean, Indigenous cultures have knowledge of and connection to the natural world that science is increasingly recognising and respecting. And, you know, this can come from generations and generations of experience and knowledge in their lands, and also that sense of stewardship that many of these groups hold. I think the challenge has been that this knowledge isn't always couched in terms that scientists might recognise. And that's, you know, different cultures see the world in different ways. But I hope that in future scientists are able to respect these different ways of viewing the world and collaborate more and work alongside these Indigenous groups.
Is there anything else you'd like to add about this research?
You know, the deep sea is less well understood than the surface of Mars, even though it makes up over 80% of our oceans. And, you know, even with beaked whales, which, you know, are among the most obvious inhabitants of that deep sea realm, we're still learning more the more that we look. And so I think it's just amazing. There's over a million species that are left to discover in the deep sea. I think it's really important that we do, because people are now looking at the deep ocean as the next frontier for mining and fishing. So the more that we can describe and understand that diversity, the more that we can start managing those impacts that are coming up in the future.
That was my talk with Dr. Emma Carroll from the University of Auckland on a new species of whale.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.